everybody. Welcome back to another episode of John's Basement Broadcast Podcast Radio Show. And I want another fun word. I'm going to say, what's the word? Jamboree. That's totally not the right word, but it's a fun word. So I'm from here on out referring to my show as my radio jamboree. How's your guys' week been? It's been an actual week since my last episode. How's that for consistency? Hell yeah. I'm looking out my window right now, back in John's actual basement as opposed to John's dorm. It's snowing for the first time this season, or at least as far as I've seen since I've been home. I believe it's the first time it's snowing for the season. It is so cold. I mean, this is called John's basement because I live in a basement, and it is freezing. It is so cold. I love my basement. I do. I love the fact that I can play music late at night and it doesn't wake anyone up because I'm downstairs, not upstairs. But my God, does it get freezing this time of year. So I have not been able to feel my feet for about 4 days. How have you guys been able to feel your feet? I mean it when I say I sincerely hope you can feel your feet. So without any more delay, let's get into some music this week. I'm gonna look at that. I'm not going on some awful side tangent right off the dome. I'm sure it's gonna come later in this episode, but we're staying on target, staying on track for at least the first episodes, the first portion of today's episode. So let's skip the pleasantries, the niceties, the introductories. Well, let's not skip the introductories because we kind of need those. The first artist that I'm going to be playing this week is actually an artist that I found on Quadio. I cannot stop listening to the song that I'm about to play you guys, so enjoy this track by a band called The Backfires called Anything.
We live on different coastlines, but I'm stuck in my first time lies. This moving on ain't my first try. Never really loved the first sight. I told you and otherwise I've never been any good at goodbyes. I said anything, I did anything to make it work, to make it work, to make it work. I said anything, you. Your friends tell me about your new guys. I tell them about a new girl with blue eyes. Moving on takes more than two tries.
Hey!
God damn, that song kicks ass. I really, like I've said in the past, I listen to every song that I put on the show. There are no songs that I don't listen to first before I air it. That is one of my favorite songs in general now. I was scrolling through Quadio, as I do pretty periodically, looking for some new talent, some new musicians. It's funny, like, I have, like, a system now where I'm kind of just, like, always checking Quadio and TikTok for artists to put on the show, which is cool. It keeps me in the loop, you know. I'm very much, like, I'm an out-of-the-loop person when it comes to music that most people my age listen to, which makes me sound like one of those "I was born in the wrong generation" pieces of shit. No, I'm not one of those. I don't know, I listen to a lot of grunge from the 90s, and most of the artists that I idolize came from that era, so I'm pretty out of touch with newer artists, which isn't intentional, it's just the way it is. But yeah, I'm always looking for new artists, so I'm getting pretty well-versed in the upcoming indie scene of indie as in the term of unsigned artists, not indie as in actual indie. A few of those, too, though. But yeah, that was an entire side tangent. See, there it is. I knew it was coming in this episode at some point. But I really love that track. And I remember when I was looking through Quadio and I found the Backfires, I actually coincidentally had stumbled upon their page the day their next single came out. I believe the song that they also just recently released is called The Man. Let me double check on that, though. Let me tell you some more about the Backfires in addition to that, because I am so into their stuff now. They've only got two songs out. The Man, I was right. Yes, the name of the song that they had released the night that I had found them was also called The Man. So it was like 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and I saw like the new song had just released. I'm like, wait a second. Hell yeah, I'm here at the perfect time. The Backfires are, as they put in their Spotify bio, from both sides of the Atlantic. So they're formed in London, but now they're I think based in New York now. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I mean, from the UK to New York City, that's a really cool reach, and I'm here for it. I hope someday when, hopefully, COVID in the near future gets eradicated or minimized to the point where it's not a major health threat anymore, hopefully I can play a show with you guys someday, because you guys sound so fun, and I would love my panda to open for you guys. That was The Backfires. Anything, check them out on all streaming platforms. I found them on Quadio, but they're also on Spotify. Hope I get to play another song by them on the show someday soon. So the next artist that I'm going to play for you guys tonight is an artist, a band, that I actually have some very interesting history with, and I'm going to actually tell the history about that after I play the song for you guys. Little anecdote after. But before I tell you my story, listen to this song by a band called Divide by Zero, and according to the email that Josh, my contact for this band, according to Josh, the song's name is called What a Skank, and in parentheses he writes the dance, not the derogatory term. So hope you enjoy this track called What a Skank by Divide by Zero. Trying to wash these X's off my head.
songs I didn't know. It was my first time at a ska show. Fighting through this crazy crowd, all the fans playing so loud. It was my first time at a ska show.
Was such a fun song. I love ska. That is maybe one of my toxic traits, or one of my my tragic things about me that will take me down. I really do love ska, though, especially ska punk. I think it's so fun, and I think if you hate on ska, you just simply hate joy, and that's not my fault. So reevaluate why you hate happiness and fun. And come back to me when you don't hate ska anymore. I'm a very big fan of new ska bands too. I mean, Real Big Fish is like unapologetically one of my favorite bands ever. Sublime is very, very much unapologetically one of my favorite bands. I mean, my wallet is actually the Sun from 40 Ounce to Freedom. But yeah, I love ska so much, and I'm always looking for new ska bands, so Divide by Zero, I'm loving this new sound, yeah, I mean, support new ska artists, stop supporting the same bands from the 90s, like, yes, like I said previously in this episode, too, like, yeah, I listen to a lot of 90s music, a lot of that is 90s ska punk, too. But I'm under no illusion that, like, artists don't continue to make music under that genre. So many people are like, ska is dead, I just wish we had the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones back, and Real Big Fish and Sublime. Like, yeah, those bands were great. I mean, first of all, Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, I'm pretty sure, are still touring. And second of all, like, find new artists, man. I mean, that's what I'm here for. I'm not good at finding, like, big artists. I mean, not finding, because everyone knows who the big artists are. But, like, I think I'm definitely mastering the art of finding some really cool up-and-coming talent in specific genres. And this is a really cool track. So, yeah, let me tell my story about Divide by Zero. That's a really fun one for me. This actually takes me back, I think, to my freshman year in high school when I was in my punk band Fracture. Divide by Zero at this time was two, I believe, their cousins, Josh Visser. Oh my God, I'm so sorry if I'm mispronouncing your last name, Josh. Please forgive me. And his cousin Sam Miller, and the two of them, I want to say, if my memory serves me right, I want to say Josh was at SUNY Plattsburgh in upstate New York, and Sam was at the time also in high school, but a couple years older than me and living in Long Island, I want to say. I know Sam is now currently based in Boca Raton, Florida. I think I want to say freshman year, maybe even eighth grade. It might be as far as I want. You know what? It was probably the summer before I was going into my freshman year of high school. That timeline seems about accurate to me. And I was just finished with making my first EP with my band Fracture, which was my punk band for a few years, actually, for pretty much all of high school, minus my senior year, which was when Spitfire for me kicked in. And that EP was our Broken Walls EP. It was four songs. It was very, I mean, with the exception of one song on it, it was a very punk rock EP. And I wanted to get as many people to listen to it as possible. So I went to Instagram, and this is like, I always date myself with stories like these, but yeah, this is when the DM feature was still relatively new. There wasn't that many kinks worked out. And one of my favorite features that they had recently added, though, was that you can make group chats on DM. And I was like, I'm going to send a group chat DM to a bunch of bigger music pages on Instagram that I follow. And Divide by Zero was one of them. That was at the time, I believe at the time it was just Sam posting guitar covers, and it had a couple thousand followers by that point, and I was very surprised when I got a response. Sam had, reached out to me and said, we love your voice, your music is really good, we'd love for you to sing for, like, it was like a studio project at the time, and I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I had no idea how to record music. I stand by the fact that I didn't even learn how to track music until pretty much this year. And actually, it was actually Sam who kind of showed me how to do it, like, recently, which is funny. He comes back in the story so many years later. I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I was, like, 15 years old, and Josh was in college. Sam, I think, was a junior or senior in high school at the time. Sam is such a talented guitarist too. I was very intimidated because he's like, okay, so I want you to play, just do some vocals on this. And they sent me lyrics and stuff, and I tried and I tried and I tried, and every time there was something wrong with my mic and it was clipping or just so many things, and I ended up not knowing how to do it. And I was in the band for maybe a total of like maybe 2 weeks, and then I think I quit. But I have no bad blood with either of these dudes. They're so cool, and I'm so happy that they're both still doing music. I mean, Sam is doing his own thing now. I mean, Sam's in Florida, so he's now with a band called Chasing Sunsets, who I do hope to play on the show sometime and maybe even have as a guest. His cousin Josh, the other half of this equation at the time, Josh continued with the band Divide by Zero, and I am loving this new sound. Thank you for being my bandmate for about a month. And I'm very happy to support you in whatever ways I can. I am so here for the sound and anything that's coming up. And there are a few more notable mentions for that come with the song. Josh wanted me to mention that the EP was produced by a man named Cody. Oh, I'm so gonna butcher this name. Okonski, I want to say. Cody Okonski. He says, most famous for fronting Millington and working on Blink-182's 2016 album. So that is really cool. I am so excited for the rest of this EP. I can't wait for the rest of it to drop, and you guys should all check it out. Check out what's already coming. So this track was called, once again, What a Skank by the band Divide by Zero, and I am so excited to see what they have coming up in the future. And with that being said, let's get into the interview segment of tonight's episode and my third artist. I actually have played one of her tracks on the show before, so I'm very excited to welcome back into the musical repertoire of the show Anna Leonard with her new cover of High and Dry by Radiohead. This was a really fun interview, and it's my first interview on the southeast coast of the USA, so we are truly breaking into the entirety of this globe. First US, we have Australia, and here next, the world. We're gonna conquer everything. Maybe that'd be really fun. I would love to be musical conqueror of the world. Let's get into the interview. Anna Leonard coming up right now. Hey everyone, welcome to another interview segment for a John's Basement podcast episode. I'm here for the first time on the show with Anna Leonard, and we're going to talk about a few things, especially her most recent release, a cover of High and Dry by Radiohead, which is one of my favorite Radiohead songs off of my favorite Radiohead album. Amazing cover. My first question, though, so where are you based right now? I want to say Atlanta. Am I right there?
You are, yeah. I just came to Atlanta in September is when I came in.
Cool. This is my first reach to, I think, Southeast Coast. That's awesome. I'm branching
congratulations.
Out.
Congratulations. Yeah.
So what's the music scene like in Atlanta? I mean, you said you moved in September, so I don't know if you've had much time to really figure that out with COVID and all.
I haven't really, which sucks. I know most everything that I've seen is just like online postings of concerts and things, but Atlanta's just another one of those cultural hubs that has pretty much everything. Like it reminds me a lot of just any big city. Like there's a community for everything. There's a lot of like rap, hip hop, and R&B, but I've met a couple of people online who do like indie stuff like me. So it's really all over the place. It's awesome.
That sounds really cool. So that's like an amazing cultural hub. See, yeah. Sometimes I'm from New York, so I mean, right now I'm in the suburbs, but normally I'm at school in the city, and it's a little intimidating because there's too much going on there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know how to, how to find the right group, so I'm just kind of talking to everyone right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's good. I stayed in New York for like a month, like right before everything shut down right around Christmas time is when I was there. So I like got to see a lot of the busyness as well. I was in Queens, but
you got
so,
like,
yeah.
The last wave of like the fun New York City experience.
Before yeah.
The shit.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about High and Dry. Amazing cover, as I said earlier.
Thank you.
You got it. So what sparked you to cover that track? How was the recording process?
I gotcha. So really, I just liked that song a lot. I have this playlist of people, like a lot of it is artists that I know covering other artists that I know. There's this cover of Weird Fishes, which I really wanted to do, but this girl, Leanne, can't remember her name, which is really unfortunate, but she's really incredible and she does Weird Fishes. And so I was like, oh, well, what other Radiohead song can I do? Because then I was just obsessed with the idea of doing a Radiohead song, and High and Dry is just a really great song. So Leanne La Havas. Oh no, I hope I didn't just butcher that. That's the girl who does the Weird Fishes. That's really good. But High and Dry, it's just a really good song.
I agree. I mean, definitely it's a great song choice, because that's of the Radiohead songs, I think that's like the most fun to cover next to.
Right. You're a Radiohead fan, right? You
yes.
Familiar with their discography?
Yes. I used to cover the very stereotypical and overplayed Creep.
Yes.
in high school, and God, that was awful. So
no, but it's such a nice song. When I told everyone I was doing a Radiohead cover, I had like 6 people DM me like, "You're not doing Creep, right?" Just because it's so good and everyone wants to do it.
Right. No, yeah, I definitely I love basically every song off of The Bends. That's a perfect album, in my opinion. So going with your cover of High and Dry, I do have a question. It's completely unrelated to music, but I noticed the animated, I think it's called The Canvas on Spotify, that you have for High and Dry is a video, I think, of you skydiving.
Yes.
So what is it like to skydive? Because that's one of those things I say, I want to do that someday, but I'm probably never going to do.
I thought the same thing. So it's really like a sentimental thing, that skydiving experience. I went with my sister. My brother passed away 2 years ago, and he had skydiving tickets before he passed. And so we kept saying like, oh my gosh, we're gonna go skydiving. We're gonna do it. But we both were like freaked out about it and never wanted to really plan it. But then on like the 2 year anniversary, we ended up going, and it was really cool. I don't know that I'd do it again. Not that I didn't enjoy it. It was fun. It was really cool. Like, you get to see whatever city you're in from like an aerial view, and like you can see everything. It's really magical. But I don't know. It was frightening, but it was really cool.
It's a very sweet story. Very sorry for your loss.
It's okay. Thank you.
That is an awesome experience, I would imagine. That's just like the video too that you got with that. It's just what an awesome video. Yeah.
That's so sick.
So going back to the Radiohead thing, though, so I know you're a Radiohead fan.
I'm not like that big of a fan.
Dabbling.
I'm like medium fan there, because people will be like, oh, you're a fan, and then ask me to name like 80 different tracks from their like a million long list of songs.
So they have a lot of songs, and I'm going to be honest, I don't know all of them either. I know about two albums and a few tracks here and there.
Mm-hmm. That's more like me.
Yeah. But other than Radiohead, what other music do you normally listen to?
Ooh, everyone always says this, but they're like, I listen to a bit of everything. I don't listen to everything, because I don't listen to like metal. I don't listen to that much country, but I pretty much listen to stuff that like I would want to sing. So like indie rock, indie pop, I like that kind of stuff. But I've listened to a lot more like R&B and hip hop lately that I love, and Aminé is the person who stands out, Dominic Fike, Omar Apollo, those kinds of R&B, hip hoppy, rappy people. I really like them.
Are there any artists that you are very fond of that also influence your playing style when you're writing music?
Oh yeah, plenty. I love Samia. She's like my greatest inspiration lately. She writes very poetically. She's also like indie rock realm, and has worked with the guys from like Hippocampus and stuff, and she's just like so awesome, so up and coming. Her debut album, The Baby, was so incredible. And then, of course, I love people like Phoebe Bridgers and Soccer Mommy, Snail Mail, those kind of groups as well. Those are like probably my top influences, those four.
So I would imagine those are also probably in like the favorite artist realm.
Exactly, correct.
Awesome. So like as far as play music, so I know you play guitar and I know you sing. Do you do anything else as far as instruments goes?
Yeah, so I'm really not good at playing instruments. I do a little bit of guitar and I do a little bit of piano. But I mostly am just super interested in writing, and singing just kind of comes along with that. If you're the writer, you're generally the singer as well. So that's me.
That's completely how I started. So I completely
got it.
So like, where did your musical journey kind of start?
I've been singing and writing my whole life. My mom always says like, you were singing before you could talk. So it's always been like part of me. But I didn't start considering like actually pursuing it in my life until like my senior year of college, which was almost 2 years ago. Or actually, yeah, 2 years ago. Oh, that's embarrassing for me to realize right now. But I had some friends like influence me to put things out, and it was very exciting. And so that's when I started putting stuff out as Anna and the Neon Cowboys. That was my first like musical group thing. And now I've just started doing things under my own name.
So I remember you released, what was it? It was called Quiet, right?
Yes. Yes.
I remember I played that, I want to say back in August or September, sometime around like the end of summer.
Yeah.
So I remember in the conversation we had very briefly over DM, when I played that one, you said there was an album in the works. Is that still happening?
Yes, yeah. I've fashioned a little recording studio out of my closet, which is super cramped, but it does the job. So me and my current creative partner, Gabriel Taylor, he also worked with me on Quiet, and he's just a musical genius. And so he will send me tracks. I'll like send him ideas and lyrics and vocals for a song, and then he'll just kind of send me things back. So we're like socially distanced. He lives in Virginia, so we're like really, really distantly working on this album together. Don't have a release date, but things are really coming together now, which is very exciting.
That's awesome though. It's like the epitome of the perfect remote COVID friendly music project.
Yeah, I found the perfect person because he can do literally everything, like all of the musical instruments. He's like the most talented guitar player I've ever heard, and he can do like beats online and can mix, do everything. He's incredible.
That's awesome. So his name is Gabriel Taylor, you said.
Gabriel Taylor, yes.
I had that in my notes. Amazing.
Yay.
Yeah, no, that's I think remote recording is one of the craziest and coolest things that I think I've personally learned how to do in this age of COVID, when live music is completely non-existent.
Yeah, it's so sad, but it's nice to like have something else to turn to, and that's like the only thing I can really be grateful for, like streaming platforms and things. You know, they underpay their artists, but they are getting the job done right now for me.
Yeah, it's at the very least something to stay relevant, which is how when you put like your music up, do you use DistroKid or
I've been using TuneCore.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
TuneCore, DistroKid, the other one that I hear a lot of people use. I used to use CD. Mm-hmm. Not to throw shade at a major aggregate, but I hated it.
I'm calling them right now and letting them know you said that.
Let them know. this small podcast from the New York has a big beef with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no. TuneCore is cool too. There's at my college, there's this thing called I forget what it's called actually, but there's this app that you can buy, Rockbot. That's what it is. Where if you're in our cafeteria prior to COVID, if you're sitting in the cafeteria, you could actually put a song on cue to play in the, like on the speaker. And I know that, I looked it up. I'm like, how do I get my song on there? And it functions through TuneCore. So I'm like,
Oh, okay.
Sick.
Yeah. I only know TuneCore. It's just what someone told me at the beginning, and I've never even considered another option, but DistroKid. I'll keep that one in mind.
Yeah, I'm sure TuneCore is cool too. I have a couple of friends. It's like the people that I know, it's like split between DistroKid and TuneCore.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are using CD Baby are losing money.
Yeah.
Even more than everyone. I mean, everyone's losing money. No one makes money off of this.
That's true. That's true.
Like, how many times do I have to stream myself until I make a dollar?
1 million. Nearly. No. No, that's dramatic. But I like look at my thing and I get so excited when I see it's gone up a couple cents. I'm like, yep. Oh, I'm rich. This is so financially stable. This like $6 in my account.
I've been on Spotify since I want to say 2017. With the current band that I'm in right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm always checking the stats and I'm like, I'm waiting to hit $100. Like, it's like, uh-huh, all those years, like, how much money you make off it? I'm like $80.
Yeah.
Like, how many years? I'm like four.
Yeah. I want to check my old group's TuneCore balance. I want to see. Now that you mentioned that, I'm very curious because that was, I think, 2018. Oh, maybe that was actually only 2019. I don't know. Time isn't real.
But, time is non-existent anymore. That's
how
I feel. So you said the previous group that you were in, what was it? Anna and the Neon Cowboys, did you say?
Yes.
Tell me about that. I'm very curious to
That was, I love telling people that was the name. I think it's just hilarious. It came up by accident. I like bought a shirt that said the Neon Cowboys on it. Or no, it just said the Neon Cowboy. And so then we were trying to figure out a band name, even though we weren't really like a band. It was just like a collection of us that would record things. Cause I only ever did like house shows and things by myself, just like me and my guitar, doing my like sad girl songs. But Anna and the Neon Cowboys, that was the first thing that I did in college with some like college friends. And that was the first time I'd like ever been to a studio too, which was really cool and fun, was like with that group. But that's how I met Gabriel Taylor. Well, I already met him, but that's how I started like creatively working with him because he was involved in that as well. And I'm just so grateful to him. I'm really gassing Gabriel Taylor up on this podcast, but he deserves it.
What college was that you went to?
So I grew up in Virginia. I went to VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University. I don't know if you know Virginia schools being there. You go to Pace, right?
I do go to Pace.
Yeah.
It is so different from every other city campus because we're like a very businessy area as opposed to like all the other colleges in New York City. Mm-hmm. Where it's like very social. And I'm like, oh no, I go down and some of the people want to spit on you because they're Wall Street people.
People are so bold.
They are bold. Why would they do that? That's why I love the human race. As awful as they can be, some of the things that come out of people's mouths is just so perfect.
You can't make that up. And I'm sure you hear so much of that in New York.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
That city's famous for like rude people or bold people. Maybe I'll say bold instead of rude. I don't want to be super negative.
No, a bit of both. It's my favorite place in the world. I'm looking for apartments right now. I'm planning on staying there. But the things that you will hear and see in New York City is unmatchable, which is why I love it so much.
Yeah,
it's like, whoa, that person totally just kicked a pigeon. And then stole a hot dog in one stride.
That, like in front of other people. That's the thing that really, it's all in public.
Everything.
That's so funny. What year are you in Pace?
I'm a sophomore currently.
Oh, okay. Cool.
23, God willing, as far as.
Yeah. Who knows at this point?
Like right now, I'm like, I'm hoping I graduate.
Yeah.
But to bring it back to you. So I actually found you through TikTok. So I want to TikTok a little bit.
I think that's so funny.
It's amazing networking platforms, how I see
it. Truly.
What drew you to TikTok?
So I studied theater in college and I did sketch comedy with my friends. I was a founder and writer of an all-female sketch comedy group called Gag Reflex. And I love doing it. I love comedy. I love stand-up. I've done stand-up before. When I spent time in New York, I like went to a bunch of open mics. I don't think I performed once, but I did watch a lot. So I'm just a big lover of comedy. And like Vine was such a cool thing, like short videos online. It's, I don't know, TikTok is such a now like cultural trendsetter for so many different things. And I wanted to reject that for so long. I wanted to not join TikTok or not even like get the app and watch, like consume content on the app, because I was like, oh, I'm like graduated from college. I don't want to be part of this like new thing with our nation's youth, whatever. There's so many people who like don't want to join TikTok even still, but it's just like a fun way to put content out. And now I have followers and I can make money off the app, and it's more money than I make off TuneCore. So I'm chilling.
That's awesome. You know, I was very much in the same boat with TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, I don't need it. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want anything to do with that. Cause I remember like Instagram is my favorite thing in the world. Cause Instagram is not a hub for new content. Instagram is like either Twitter's best moments or TikTok's best moments.
Yeah. That's how I feel.
I saw so many of the cringy TikToks for so long.
Yeah. And I also thought it was just like Musical.ly all the time.
Yeah.
Like, cause Musical.ly had such a bad rap of like it just being 12-year-olds doing dances and mouthing words. And maybe that's what that was. But then TikTok, everyone's like, that's basically Musical.ly. But then it truly wasn't.
Yeah.
Now it's insane.
Yeah. I hopped on the bandwagon the second we got sent home for the initial lockdown. So mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I'm not a hater anymore. This is so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't be. I can't be a hater. It's like so addicting now. I like spend half my morning just like scrolling through watching people do dumb stuff.
Yeah. I remember having Vine too. And like, a lot of people are like, is TikTok the new Vine? Like, I feel like it is and it isn't at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
I completely agree.
On one hand, yes, it is like short video. Conceptually, it's very similar, but like it feels so different. And I think that might just be like the evolution of like culture.
Yeah. Because the thing that's so unique about TikTok is the For You page. Yeah. Because like every other social media, I don't know if you can really call TikTok social media, but every other like, for this purpose, I will call it a social media. Everything else is like you follow certain people and then those people like will share or retweet or whatever. And that's how you get your content, is from like other people that you follow. But this is so much more randomized. So you're so much more likely to come into contact with people you ordinarily wouldn't on any other app or any other like content place, you know?
Right. This interview is 100% remnant of that, because
yeah, exactly. Like we would never know each other. We would never be following each other on Instagram.
Yeah. I am very amazed by the For You page algorithm of TikTok.
Yeah.
It is so strangely finely tailored to so many things. Like I like one video and then three videos show up that are like almost exactly in line with the previous video.
Yeah, it's insane.
So to go a little bit away from TikTok though, bringing it down to just a more general part of this interview, since it is December 7th right now, this will be coming out, I think, on December 9th. Do you have any plans for the holiday season?
I do. I'm going back to Virginia, and that's really it. But I'm carpooling. So in Atlanta, I have like a group of Virginia friends, and we all nanny. That's what I do right now. I nanny. And all of us, it's like a little nanny COVID pod, where we just hang out with each other. And, cause like that sounds horrible, potentially infecting like a family that you nanny for. So we only hang out with each other. And so we're all going and carpooling back to Virginia together, which it's like 10-hour drive. So it's so much more fun than driving alone. So that's my big holiday plan, is the big long drive with two of my best friends to go back and see my family.
The term nanny pod might be my new favorite thing.
I know we can't call it anything else. It's just stuck in my brain like that. It's so funny.
That's actually, that is a pretty fun holiday. So you get a little road trip out of during COVID. I don't know if I've driven the same route before, but I mean, I've driven to Florida from New York, which is awful.
Brutal, brutal.
Very brutal. 21-hour drive, I think.
No.
It's a pretty drive, I will say that.
It's pretty to drive through all the states, but sitting in a car for that long, I want to get up and run around.
Yeah, 100%. So aside from that, just another general question, where do you kind of hope to be a year from today?
Well, my plans have changed a lot. I came to Atlanta because I wanted to experience a new cultural hub. I wanted to find my footing somewhere. I really wanted to go to New York, actually, after like spending that month there, but it just didn't seem smart financially right now to like pay out the ass for rent and not be able to take advantage of the city when Atlanta's a lot cheaper and I have other people here that I could stay with. Like right now I live with my best friend from college, so it's a good setup for me here, but everything just seems so up in the air still about like COVID things and opportunities. So now I am applying to grad schools for creative writing programs and trying to see where that goes. So maybe a year from today, I'll be in grad school. Maybe I will have abandoned that idea. I do impulsively do things. I decided to move to Atlanta after thinking about it for 3 days. I don't think that far ahead. So like filling out these grad applications is like making me think like, do I really want to do this? And maybe I will, or maybe I won't. Who knows? The album I hope will be out and people will like it. That'll be it.
That's very significant. And that's as a creative writing current major, absolutely go for the,
oh, that's what you study, creative writing. Oh, sick. That was my minor in college. But I didn't know that about you. Okay. All right. Well, sick. Good.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to pull out. It's like, what do you like? I live, my roommates, I have two roommates in college. Mm-hmm. One of them is a business major, which I started out as, and I sucked at it. I was awful at it. I'm so bad at math, and I failed my first math class in college. I'm like, it's time.
Nice work, John.
We got to reevaluate the major here.
Yeah.
My other roommate is a film major. Mm-hmm. So between the three of us, the dynamic is me and my roommate, who's a film major, have so much free time. And yeah. Your roommate is always working, and we will start our day when he's done with his, which is so infuriating. But like, what do you do in college? And I tell him, I don't know.
Yeah, no. That's funny. But it's good that you live with like both sides of the spectrum. Like you live with another creative, and then you live with someone who is like more business oriented. Like I'm so about like working with the people that I'm around. Like me and my roommate now, we're like writing partners, and so it's been really awesome to like be here with her too and like be writing sketches and things, because it's awesome to live with other creatives, but business is important too, to bring that in. So your business major roommate can check y'all.
My business major roommate's also my bassist, so
oh sick.
It's a very funny like back and forth between the two of us, because I'll be like, we need to write all these things and get it out by this time, and he's just like, we logistically cannot do that. I'm awful with money. So I used to have like the band fund. Our fund is an envelope. I used to have the band fund, and I'm like, please take this away from me. I'm going to impulsively buy more stickers that we don't need with this money, and that's not feasible. So that's like it's a very balancing spectrum right there.
Yeah, that's good.
So lastly, my last question for this interview, is there anything else aside from the album that you want to promote or plug right now?
I don't think so. I mean, that's really all I'm working on. I hope I'll have like a single from the album out pretty soon. So we're kind of in like finalizing stages at this point. So it's looking like I will be putting out content soon. Follow me on TikTok. I post embarrassing videos. It's very fun. That's all I'll plug.
that's perfect. Cause I didn't know I'm here. So who knows where TikTok might lead you next.
Yeah. Who knows?
Well, thank you so much for doing this interview.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Once again, everyone, this has been Anna Leonard. Check out her most recent single, cover of High and Dry by Radiohead, and also listen to her song, Quiet.
Two jumps in a week, I bet you think that's pretty clever, don't you, boy? Flying on your motorcycle, watching all the ground beneath you drop. You'd kill yourself for recognition, kill yourself to never ever stop. You broke another mirror, you're turning into something you are not. Me high, don't leave me dry, don't leave me high, don't leave me dry. In conversation, you will be the one who cannot talk. All your insides fall to pieces, you just sit there wishing you could still make love. They're the ones who hate you when you think you've got the world all sussed out. Will spit at you, you will be the one still screaming out, don't leave me high, don't leave me dry, don't leave me high. You ever had the best thing that you ever, ever had, the best thing that you've ever had, the best thing that you've had is gone away. Don't leave me high, don't leave me dry.
Once again, that was a cover of Radiohead's High and Dry by the very talented Anna Leonard. Very happy to have her on the show as a guest for the first time. That was a really fun interview for me. You should absolutely check out her other track, Quiet. Check out her previous group, which I now know of after that interview, Anna Leonard and the Neon Cowboys. That is such a fun name. I'm so here for that. That's about all I have as far as new stuff to show you guys for the week. I do have a very exciting new artist in my repertoire, my library of songs that I listen to all the time. I have nonstop been listening to the new Miley Cyrus album, Plastic Hearts. If you guys have not listened to it yet, which I'm sure most people have, please check it out. Oh my god, I just learned the guitar solo for the first track, What the Fuck Do I Know. So fun. What an awesome song. What an awesome album. And there's so many just amazing rock greats on there. I mean, Billy Idol's on there featuring. Joan Jett is featuring on there. There's a remix with Stevie Nicks. Just such an amazing direction. I actually, what started me listening to the album was a video I saw of her on the Howard Stern show recently where she covered Doll Parts by Hole. And like I said, I'm a 90s fanatic, so that is, yes, like that was such a good cover. Oh yeah, she also has a cover of the Cranberries' Zombie on the album, and I think there was her Blondie covers on there too, I think. That was released as a single prior, though. I mean, that was an amazing cover, too. I love the rock era that she's stepping into. I think her voice is just so perfect for it. I mean, anyone who's, like, between the ages of, like, 16 and probably 20 probably grew up with Miley Cyrus in their life in some form. So, I'm here for this. This is a cool, really cool new page for her to be turning to. I'm here for it. That's definitely, who knows, I may even learn the rest of the album on guitar, because that's what I do now. I sit in my basement, and I play songs, and then I learn them, because what else am I really doing right now besides this? But, actually, I do have something else that I am doing right now. Today, probably in a couple hours, I mean, after this episode, I mean, probably while this episode's airing, I'll probably be doing it. We are officially starting the official progress of the Christmas EP that my band Spitfire is working on right now. So today is on my agenda is me putting my guitar and vocals for Feliz Navidad. Very classic Latino Christmas song. So I'm very excited. I don't know if you can hear my voice, how wide I'm smiling just thinking about doing it, but I genuinely cannot wait to track my parts for that song. And in addition to that, I don't want to like give away the full roster of what we have coming soon, but you can expect some Saturday Night Live nostalgia coming from it. Hopefully we film some form of a video. I mean, I gotta see how we can do that safely. We'll probably be wearing masks in the video and, you know, all that stuff. I don't want to really put anybody in danger and break social distancing for the sake of promotion. But it would be really fun to do something as far as a music video goes. So if we can find a way to safely do it, yeah, expect a video coming for that. If you know Saturday Night Live Christmas special classics, you might have guessed what song that means, but if not, no sweat, you'll hear it eventually, hopefully. But yeah, we have some horn players coming in for Feliz Navidad. I'm very excited for the return of Nicole Guccione, someone who I actually have interviewed on the show in the past before, one of my great friends from high school, and also someone who has featured on my music in the past before. If you guys have listened to our track Dance, you will have heard her playing euphonium. I want to say French horn. Does she play trumpet on that one too? She plays so many instruments, I can't keep up. Very talented instrumentalist. Goes to Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh for music. So yeah, she's coming back with some euphonium for Euphonium on Feliz Navidad. That's going to be fun. I don't think anyone else has ever done that before, so I am very excited. And also, a guy named Ryan Geary will also be making his debut to featuring with us, a friend of our mutual friend, Kevin Hill. More on Kevin Hill in the near future, for we have also featured with him on a track, and I can't wait to show you guys that, but it'll be some time before I am at the liberty to do so. But yeah, really cool stuff coming up in the future. I'm going to play myself out with one of my own songs. I really wish I could play some Christmas music right now, but we don't have that yet. So stay tuned. Hopefully one of these episodes in the near future, I'll get to play a Christmas song by us, or a cover of a Christmas song by us to play us out. So yeah, have a very safe week. Keep wearing masks, keep social distancing. COVID rates are getting really scarily high, so please don't be a dumbass and please don't ignore this. This is real. Yes, you're tired. I'm tired, too. That doesn't mean I'm breaking the rules. So just because you're tired is not an excuse to put everybody in danger. Don't be a I can't overtly curse on the show anymore. Don't be stupid. Yeah. Have a lovely week, everybody.
I got nothing to say. I don't like your entity, so please just go away. I don't think you're very trustful. You have never had to hustle. You're a thief and you're a liar. Like to set the world on fire. Acting like a people savior. If I had a promise, good behavior. Treating people like a toy. I think I'd kill you, but I gotta be cool. The best of me. I won't give you validation. Why can't you grow up? I won't give you information. You are just too much. Phrases are so disrespectful. Acting like you're intellectual. Thinking that you're hard and gritty. Acting like you run the city. Center of attention, thinking with no good intentions, killing other people's joy. I just hate you, but I gotta be cool.